College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have had some volatile weather over the past week, and looks like we might have a few more storms. But joining us now, I'm honored to welcome in KMOX meteorologist Dave Murray, whose voice I've been listening to nonstop on KMOX. I think I was up till 1 a.m. listening to you and Michael Calhoun, Dave. So thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. That's what we live for.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I can imagine you haven't gotten much sleep.
That's okay. It really is. See, in severe weather season, it's you don't even think about it. You really don't. You just do it. You just go.
Well, I want to ask you about the storms that hit Friday. But before I do, what should people look for or expect today as far as the weather goes? Because last night was intense.
Yeah, last night was intense, obviously not like we saw Friday afternoon. This afternoon, and the prime time this afternoon is going to be 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's kind of a scattered, strong to severe thunderstorm setup. It won't really be moving in directly from the west-northwest. It'll be developing almost right on top of us. I think limited action today. A lot of folks are not going to see anything, but where these isolated or scattered thunderstorms develop, the main features besides heavy rain and lightning will be hail and wind. The potential for tornadoes is very low today, and the focus is going to be Metro St. Louis to point southeast and east. Again, it's not a big outbreak today, but it's kind of the last gasp of this system. So we still have to kind of pay attention here.
But if you're going to Cardinals to see them play the Tigers tonight, no problem, right?
No problem tonight. It should all be long gone.
All right, Dave, this is just, I guess, weather phenomena I want to ask you about. And I talked to you right after the tornado hit on Friday. Well, I talked with you and Michael Calhoun, but I couldn't hear you. For whatever reason, and that's why I feel so bad if you were trying to talk and I kept talking. I couldn't hear you from my end. But I'll describe quickly exactly what I felt. The tornado sirens went off and then they stopped. And everything was fine. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go for a run. But I turned on KMOX. I turned on the television just to see, you know, what was going on. They mentioned Olivet. The meteorologist said, see this? This is Hanley. And as soon as he said that, Dave, outside was still totally fine and still. But my ears popped. It felt like my head was going to explode. This is the weirdest, most dramatic part. It kind of felt like the air kind of came out of my apartment, like I felt deflated, so it felt a little dizzy. It got super windy all at once, and I just beelined for the stairwell. And that's when it got really, really loud. But it went from completely calm to my ears and my head felt like they were going to explode.
Yeah, when a tornado comes down, it takes some time. Is that we tend to get a little bit of a circulation right at the ground level. Sometimes you don't even see it. And then the funnel drops down, and if it makes contact with the ground, it becomes a tornado. I think what happened to you is that circulation went right over you, and then the tornado dropped down fairly quickly right after that. So you were at the very beginning stages of this development of the twister pulling itself together and getting ready to drop down.
So
you were really close.
Yeah.
Really, really close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the tornado path, the first touchdown was about a half mile from where I live.
Yeah. It's only happened to me once. I was probably in a place that I should not have been storm chasing. This is a long time ago. It's a weird feeling. It's just a very weird, it's like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah, so I was getting off the highway onto King's Highway. I saw over the park what looked like it was bad. It was there. That's what it was. But it was one of those vague-looking tornadoes. You know, it didn't have that nice, tight funnel that we're used to seeing in videos. It wasn't like that, right? It was kind of wide. And I'm like, is that a tornado? I don't know, but I shouldn't drive toward it. So I went the opposite direction, and I pulled into an alley. That was probably not safe, right? Don't pull into an alley.
Driving away from it, first of all, driving away from it is a good thing.
Okay, that's
a good
thing. That part's good.
Right. And then you start to just roll the dice when it comes to safety with a tornado on the ground. There's no 100% safe location. Obviously, you want to get to the lowest possible point, basement, the best deal, stay away from windows, things like that. But you've got to use your common sense and use it very quickly to say, am I safe here? And if you don't feel like you're safe there, then you should probably get inside or move to another location.
Dave, because it hit so quickly, and I feel like I haven't gotten a good answer, if I'm driving down the highway and it's hitting, what do I do? You know, what, it doesn't matter what lane you're in. Like, if you're in the right lane, do you pull over? If you're in the fast lane, do you slow down but keep driving? I don't know what to do.
It may be the toughest place to be when there's a tornado on the ground. There's a couple of things you can do. I always say try to get under an overpass. Again, not the safest place to be, but better. The absolute best thing to do is to get out of your car and get down into a ditch. Get down into the lowest possible point. But that's not a real safe place either. But it's better than being in your car, which could easily get picked up in a high wind situation. Now, the problem with getting down in a ditch, typically the tornado happens first and the heavy rain comes in right behind it or with it, depending on the setup. So don't stay in the ditch very long because that's now prone to flash flooding.
Okay.
It's not easy. It's just not easy.
Because we've heard different things now on the overpass that you should not get under it because it creates a wind tunnel effect. So the debris could get you. And so you're just weighing your options?
Yeah. It's just weighing your options. If you just have to kind of say, where can I go right now? Where I am on the highway or where I am on a road. If you're on kind of a secondary road or you know, like Hanley, try to pull over, get into a building, you know, knock on somebody's door, get into a gas station, get into a convenience store, get into a Schnucks, you know, get into whatever you can get into. And that's the thing. But you have to do it very quickly. These things aren't saying, well, here I come, I'm coming now. No, they're like, here I come, I'm coming now.
Yeah, and right, like a side road to like Hanley, like you said, get into a building because there are so many trees, or those people who are driving on Lindell. I saw a car the other day, or yesterday, I should say. It was one of those giant 100-year-old trees, and this was near Forest Park, and it crushed the car like down to the chassis, down to the wheels. The entire car collapsed.
Yes. If you've never cut a tree down, whether it be a relatively small tree, like a 10-inch diameter tree, or all, you know, one of these huge oaks kind of thing, it is amazing how tall it is. It is amazing how heavy it is. It's amazing how much trouble you can get into very quickly with a falling tree. But I know from experience from cutting a tree down and it went the wrong way.
Oh boy. Did it land on your house?
No, it actually landed on me.
Oh my gosh.
So I caught it. It was about a 10-inch diameter tree.
Oh, okay.
And I was trying to push it away from the deck. And but it went towards the deck and it was like, okay, I think I can hold this thing up. And then my wife realized what was going on, called the fire department, and of course they love to come to Dave Murray's house.
Were you laying under it?
Or were you holding it?
No, I wasn't laying under it. I was still holding it.
I thought you were saying that you were cutting down like a 100-year-old oak or something and it fell
on you. No, I know better than that. Yeah. I know better than that. This was one I thought I could handle.
Okay.
But it's just cutting a tree down, it kind of expect the height of it is probably double of what you expect it to be.
Yeah.
So this storm on Friday, we heard it turned into an EF3. That was the ultimate rating. Why don't they pass through the urban part of St. Louis, like the actual metro part? Is it just dumb luck that it hasn't happened since the late 50s? Or is there an actual reason they don't go through cities typically?
No, there's a fallacy that tornadoes do not hit cities. They absolutely do. It is just it's luck or not luck, depending on how you look at it. You know, our worst tornadoes, 1896, 1927, 1959, came right through the heart of St. Louis. Hundreds killed in some of these tornadoes. The 59 was the one that hit the old Checkerdome and hit the Channel 2 tower and kind of squished it down. It just depends, and that happened in the middle of winter. It just depends. It just depends on the setup, but do not, you know, it's kind of like opening your windows before a tornado. Yeah. That's kind of a fallacy now too. And it's one of these things. Tornadoes can hit anywhere at any time. Do not think that you're in a safe place because of the river or because it's a city or because of whatever reason. A tornado can hit anywhere and really any time.
Okay, quick question about the windows, because I had always heard that's a fallacy as well. Don't open your windows. But then I saw so many houses where it looked like the windows just blew out, like every single window, 30 windows.
Yep.
That's pressure, though, not wind, right?
Wind. No, that's wind.
Really?
That's where the fallacy developed. Okay. Everybody, you know, 20 plus years ago, everybody thought it was the pressure that was doing that. But in reality, it's really the wind that is doing it. I always say, you know, if you want to crack open a window, do it well ahead of the storm. So maybe you can hear the sirens a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But do not go toward, if the warning is up, the sirens are going. Don't run to your windows and open them up, because that's a weak part of the house. The windows are going to go in first, and you're wasting time. Don't take the time to run to a window and open it up and then get to your basement or get to your interior bathroom. You know, just say, get to your safe place right now. Windows are probably going to go anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Dave, along the tornado path where it did touch down, we were kind of talking about it first touched down, right? Like in Big Bend and the Clayton area. And in the middle, like it's a very wide road with a giant median. The median has a lot of smaller trees. All of those look like they were cut in half, like twisted in half. There's even lampposts wrapped around trees. But the giant 100-year-old trees on each side of those roads looked like someone was gardening and pulled them up by the base with root system that pulled up the sidewalk on the road. Is there a specific reason why all the median trees were cut in half and all the giant 100-year-old trees were intact but pulled up by the roof?
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with size more than anything. We've had a lot of rain this spring, so the ground table of water is very, very high. So, plus, remember, the trees are in leaf now. So when you get a strong wind, whether it be a tornado or a straight line wind, trees are going to grab that. Mm-hmm. And in this case, 150 plus mile per hour winds, it's just going to be pulled right out, kind of like a cork coming out of a bottle.
We had a listener, and this question is from Keith, Dave, who's asking, you know, there were people who were inside the arch at the top of it when that storm rolled through. And Keith wants to know, could it be knocked down by a tornado?
Could the arch be knocked down?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I don't believe there's anything that is 100% safe when it comes to a tornado, especially when you're talking EF3, EF4, mm-hmm. EF5. Yes, that would be a possibility.
Oh. That would be the worst.
I have never thought about the arch getting knocked down like it's...
Or you could get taken for a real ride across the river.
So, okay, do we know? I know the arch sways, and there were people in the arch. How much were they swaying? Were they swaying like 10 or 20 feet?
I don't know. It kind of sways all the time.
I don't think it would
sway 10 to 20 feet, but it's one of those things. I mean, we had fair warning, a 24-hour warning that this was not going to be a pretty afternoon on Friday. And then as we got into the early afternoon, it was like, we really do have some problems here, folks. We really need to pay attention. And that's where each individual has to come into play. You think about, okay, are we going to have thunderstorms this afternoon? Should I be up in the arch? Should I be in a hot air balloon? Should I be playing baseball? You know, it's one of those things where, well, it looks okay right now, but it caves in very, very quickly, especially like the storm on Friday. It developed right on top of us. It wasn't like you can look out and say, I think that storm might be in St. Charles County right now, and it might be coming towards me. This all developed right on top of us.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave, there's been a lot of controversies about the tornado sirens in the city of St. Louis. Did they go off? Did they not go off? But I guess outside of that, what are your thoughts on the tornado siren system in general? I've kind of heard some people say the system's outdated. Others say it's necessary. What do you feel about it?
I like the siren concept. I really do. They test them. Now, the question is, do they really test them? Are they going to each siren site and making sure it works? And if it's not working, how quickly do they fix it? You know, a lot of times you forget about it. It's like, we don't need to worry about it today. Let's put it on the docket for tomorrow to fix. These things need to be fixed right away. Why sirens get blown in our area is a mess. It has been a mess for a long time, and I could talk for an hour on this thing. You know, you don't issue a tornado. You know, there should only be one person, and that's the National Weather Service, blowing those sirens. It should not be given to that power should not be given to anybody else. It should come from one source. And it's also, don't blow the sirens. You know, if you're in St. Louis County and there is a tornado warning for central Jefferson County, there's right now an adjacent county will blow the sirens. Don't do that. Just don't do that, because you get to the point of, you know, crying wolf. I don't know how this whole thing got started. It got started a long time ago, but that whole thing has to be revamped, and revamped not only with the system itself, but on the education of the public on what we're doing here. Because a lot of times you mentioned it, that, you know, oh, the sirens went off, so it must be okay. And it's just goofy. It's just really goofy, and it can be confusing, and it can be dangerous.
So the mayor said the fire department now is going to have control. They physically have control of it. You say the National Weather Service should be doing it. Is there a mechanism by which they could? Could they physically be in the office and
absolutely.
All right. So then why doesn't it happen that way?
I don't know. You know, in a lot of places in tornado land, in the plains, in the Midwest, that's how it's done. Why we have decided to do this, I'm not sure. Yeah. I've never gotten a clean answer out of this, and I've been searching for it for like 20 years.
Oh, okay. Well,
why do we do this?
Why do we do anything we do here?
Well, that's a whole nother thing.
Everything is like a why. You could ask why about every single thing that's done in St. Louis, I think. Why?
Oh, yeah.
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 All right. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, Dave Murray.
That's another show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. You're the absolute
you got it.
Best.
Thank you so much, guys.
Meteorologist Dave Murray joining us here on the show.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.